He is here. You know, at the graveside of Lazarus, it was said, well, you weren't here and he died, but now that you are here, anything can happen. And that's the way it is today. Jesus is here. Why don't we sing that, Jesus, you're here. All things are possible now that you're here, because the dead will be raised. Now, we're not fooling anymore, brother, sister. And I realize that I can be talking to a people here of which everyone believes as much as I believe. And you must forgive me, but I am so skeptical in this hour of people believing the message and believing that God is here and believing what He is here for, that it has become ultra personal with me, not to exclude anybody else. But I want you to know that I'm not fooling. I believe that He is here, and I believe this is the hour of the resurrection. It hasn't got a thing to do with me. I never asked Him to come. I didn't ask Him to stay away. I didn't ask Him at all. Like Mary and Martha, things were going on. They didn't know how things were going to turn out, but one day Lazarus died, and the word came and said, well, now if you'd have been here, he hadn't have died. And that was true. He wouldn't have died. And I'm going to tell you, that's exactly the way it is here. We're not going to die. This isn't a false hope, brother, sister. This is the word. It doesn't have a thing to do with your emotions. It doesn't have a thing to do with your faith. Let's understand that. Your faith is only dependent upon the fact that it is God has done something, and this is His presence that has been revealed to you. You didn't have a thing to do with it. And you don't have a thing to do with it. All right, let's sing, Jesus, you're here. All things are possible now that you're here. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. All things are possible now that you're here. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. All things are possible now that you're here. Heavenly Father, we're absolutely right in what we're singing. We know that you're here. We know that you're here. We know that you're here. And we shall not die but live. Lord God, and those that are dead and passed on, they shall live and be in the presence of the Holy God. And we shall then rise into your arms, Lord, and be there in the incarnation when we crown you King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You're King already. You're Lord already. It's just about high time that people realized it and began knowing the things of Almighty God. Father God, we're so grateful to you. You don't have one thing of ourselves, Lord, nor do we ever hope to have one thing of ourselves. But we hope to have all things of you, O God, taken right back to the very beginning, and then all things with you, joint heirs with Jesus Christ, rulership divine, all these things, O God, because of you and because your promise, and we accept them not because of anything we have or ever hope to be in ourselves, but we accept them by grace, by understanding, Lord, in this last hour that the promises have come into manifestation. And Lord, we're so happy for that. We thank you and just pray, O God, that mercy and grace which has been revealed shall not be spurned by us, or shall be set aside in some low degree. But as the prophet said, your presence, you being here, how we ought to be prostrated at your feet even now. The wonder, Lord, we don't try to, so we're almost crawling to the rug. But Lord, that would be getting away from you, trying to. And that's not the position we're in, but it's one really of adoration and worship and praise unto the majesty and glory of Him who is worthy. So Father, we commend ourselves to you, and we're just so thankful for everything. So grateful to you, Lord. We praise you now. And may whatever word comes forth, Lord, be anointed of you. Be blessed, O God. There be a reality to it, no matter what is said. And then what is done, Lord, may it also take on the proportions of the depth of reality. It ought to, Lord, we know day by day every single thing ought to be coming more and more and more into the positive. So there isn't one thing that was ever said or done for this age, but has culminated now into the seed factor and should be absolutely more glorious and wonderful than ever before. As the prophet said, if there was a glory back there in the days of Luther, and there was a glory there in the days of Moses, there's a glory now that is not going to fade away. It won't, because immortality is here upon the scene.
And we thank you for it, Lord, for this hour. Just undertake for us now whatever the needs may be. We carefully give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, time goes on and we see the goodness of the Lord. I'm not constantly, but every now and then I get letters and phone calls, and it seems that today the what we hold so dear over here, the presence of the Lord is sweeping Africa. Everything in front of it, the people are believing. It's gone into Germany. A brother has taken many tapes over there, and the people are believing. I guess he mentions 200 himself, and he's preached 55 messages taken from what has gone out. We find that people are believing, and there's other places, though, where the strength of men is so strong that they are turning it down, and they will turn it down because, let's face it, if it's true, it's got to be crucified unto themselves. There's no two ways about it. But we're very grateful for what the Lord is doing. And however, we're not at all unaware of Satan's devices. And there's certain people might wonder why at this particular time I'm led a certain way to do certain things, to say certain things. But that's because we're getting older in the Lord. We're getting wiser in Him. We're not unaware of the wiles of the devil, but also we are aware of the things of God and how God would have us to deal. So it's just kind of roundabout way and introducing the thought. We're not going to have a meeting this July. I told you I was very hesitant, but there's no way that I would have a meeting at this particular time because the enemy would like to overbalance us by getting us a little bit too dogmatic, a little bit too offensive in the sense of taking the offensive way of battle. Now, I believe in defending ourselves where we stand. I believe in standing up for ourselves. If Paul and Barnabas could have a Donnybrook over a personality called John Mark, let me tell you, I'm ready for a Donnybrook over the Word of God. But I don't believe that we should attempt to go and press anything, and I believe at this time any meeting we have would have a little edge to it, which I don't want. I'm not interested in any edges. We're not here for that purpose. We believe the Word. We believe that Word is going to be manifested in a bride. So we just want to leave the meeting alone. And again, we're not at all unaware of the wiles of the enemy. Let's face it. You say, well, this word, the understanding is catching on. Look, we could be wrong. I don't believe we're wrong for 1 minute. But if we're wrong, it simply means to shump some people to one side. But don't there be a bride down that road there somewhere. You see? But I believe we're right. You can't tell me that the prophet stood up there and he said these words. I want you to know this is sure. And you that listen to this tape, you might have thought today I was trying to say that about myself, being I was packing this message. I have no more to do with this message than nothing, no more than just a voice. My voice, even against my better judgment, I want to be a trapper, a skunk skinner. It's the will of my Father that he care to do, I'm determined to do. I wasn't the one that appeared down the river. I was only standing there when he appeared. Now, that's what he meant. He said or didn't mean it. Here, the man's a liar. He's telling the truth. I'm not the one that performs these things and retell these things happens where they are. I'm only one that's near when he does it. Now, how near can you get? I mean, that's what the prophet said. So we believe that, but we don't get ourselves all carried away into areas where we think we have anything to give anybody or any leadership qualities. I've taken myself away from that. I've gone off the field more and more and more for that very idea. Let the people talk all they want. I don't care if they're near or far. They can say anything they want. They can say what they want. There's a day coming down the road that's going to prove who's right. I am going to be one of those in the rapture, brothers. It's nice standard. Now, as people say, well, hey, how do you know? I walk and I talk with him. That's enough. You got to know for yourself, brother, sister. You got to know for yourself. Now, I tell you, people think we're crazy. That's right. We lost our mind. We got the right mind now. People think we're beside ourselves because we talk with a passion and with a sense of security and knowledge you didn't have before. Let's face it. You never heard me preach like this 2 years ago. There's no way. You hardly hear me preach like I preach today with conviction either. That conviction won't change. There's no way because I believe in a God who convicts and gives a conviction. See, that's just all there is to it. I don't have a thing to do with it. I don't stand on my word. I stand on His word. I don't stand anything I've performed. I'll never come and say, Lord, in my hands I've done this and I've done that. I've done nothing. But I've received a revelation. See? Let's face it. Once, well, there was a time when he said, let there be light, but light came. It was no longer a word, it's reality. You know, people talk about the Logos as though it were just a book. Let me tell you, the Logos is He, and He's here. See, we're not, these are the truths, these are the things that count. If He's not here, how are you going to get there? You tell me you're going to put yourself by your bootstraps? You're going to get the dead out? You can't make a move till the dead come out. Who's going to get those dead out? Comes down, sets himself the head of the church in order to raise the dead. These are the things of God we believe in. So we stand on the things that we preach. We go over them and over them. Why? Because in the certain telling and the repetitive telling, there comes a time when it gets a hold of you. See, that's what it is. This whole Bible, you could literally take this Bible for what the intrinsic truth of this Bible is. I believe you could reduce it down to just a very few pages. But it's told over and over and over and over again. Because some won't get it one way, they get it another way. That is, I talk now concerning the fact of the use of language that penetrates the understanding. The Holy Spirit can use their understanding, the use of those words. But it's like a book of repetition. Why didn't He just say it once, I am God and there's none beside me? Why does He say it more than one time? Why does He say the things repeatedly? Because you have to be repeated in order that God might anoint it. A man doesn't just sow one seed out there. For a crop, he sows many seeds. See? It's like casting bread upon the water, casting seed. You don't know just which one God is going to prosper, but God is going to prosper. And so it's oftentimes we take the repetitive attitude or the way of teaching because we want you to know certain things. And as it comes to you more and more, you'll find that those things become so great until literally you aren't in control, but they're in control of you. See, I'm not in Pentecost, brother, sister, to work anything up. Believe me, I stand here and tell you, and I lie not to you. I care 2 cents about myself because I know one thing, He said so. See, oh, there's a difference. Oh, yes, there's a difference. Don't you ever fool yourself. There's a difference. We're at the end of the time. Oh, yes, headship is here, brother, sister. If you don't want to believe in headship, you want to believe in something else. We believe in the living God has come down. We believe that around Him, that headship, Holy Spirit, is a super, super race. You bet, because they're not going to die. It's not a matter of grace that they have. It's a grace that's been imparted and imputed to them. We believe that. All right. We're going to talk some more today, and I suppose finally, about water baptism. This is reading sermon number 5, but it's actually message number 4, because we had to cut 1 and 2. Now, so we've already taken 3 complete messages and 4 preaching sermons on water baptism. And in this one, we're just going to consider, hopefully, important facets or some of the facets that we'd gone over and perhaps even add as we have an opportunity or feel we might be led to do so. Now, to begin with, we noted that water baptism by some has been one, designated irrelevant to the new birth. Has been designated as simply irrelevant, put to a place that is very inferior to what it really should be. Number 2, it has been improperly performed, and I suppose that's one of the greatest sins of all. It's improperly performed. And number 3, there are some people over the years who have given a far greater importance and impact or significance to it than what it really holds. In other words, number 1 has been made of too little importance. Number 2 has been made too great importance. Number 3, it's almost always performed wrong. Now, let's go back and look at those scriptures that people use to demean it. And now never forget, because this is true. You've heard this quoted time after time concerning water baptism by even the most well-meaning people in the world. And they'll quote from 1 Peter 3 and verse 21, the like figure went even baptism. Doth also now save us. Now, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. Now, simply because it tells you it doesn't do one thing. Now, watch that. Because it tells you it doesn't do a certain thing, doesn't mean that what it does do is inferior or not of great value. Now look, my left foot cannot do what my right hand does.
Amen.
But that does not mean that my left foot is not 100% valuable to me. Now, they got this foolish idea back in Paul's day. And Paul had to correct it. And he said, because the hand will say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body. They right away, they'll take this verse of scripture right here, and they'll fool with it, and they'll fuss with it, and they'll cut it down until it comes to the person, well, hey, what is this water baptism anyway? It really doesn't really mean anything. It's just like something that got shoved in there accidentally. And it shouldn't be there. You see, that's the way man does things. And you go back over your own experience. And it's 10-1, you didn't have a hatful of teaching on this subject. You didn't have any teaching that led you to believe there was something real about it. Why? Because it's verses just like this that are spoiled, they're destroyed, they're perverted by the ungodly ministers. And they're the ones to blame. And you got a lot of ungodly people sitting in the congregation, and they supersede the preacher. Well, they say, well, he's not doing it. I remember years ago when we were all hepped up on gifts. And, we used to send handkerchiefs around the country. And somebody said, well, Brother Vail, this person sleeps on a pillow. Will you pray over it? I remember when years back they put some handkerchiefs in an envelope, and they had me to pray over them. And I said, hold it. These envelopes were mixed up. I said, this one here belongs to the girl. This one belongs to a boy. My eyes were closed. I knew exactly. I told them exactly. They went to London. Devils were cast out. Right, I kid you not. I got witnesses. So, we prayed over another little cloth. The woman said, I'd like to, this, my husband is a spiritism. I'd like to see him help. So in those days, we were great at praying over cloths. I don't think we're doing right. We sure weren't doing wrong as far as our attitudes were concerned. We were trying to do right. So I prayed over a little cloth. She put it, I said, now kind of hide it in the bed. So she put it under the mattress cover. You know, the mattress cover goes on the mattress, and the sheet goes on top of the mattress cover, and the pillow goes on top of the sheet. So he couldn't sleep all night. He tossed and turned. Finally gets up and pulls the bed apart. Picks it and throws it on the floor and goes to sleep. What am I trying to tell you? I'm trying to tell you there's lots of things we'd agree that, you know, that the preacher can be wrong. I wasn't wrong in doing this now, mind you. But I want to lead you where the congregation go wrong. So one night, there's a certain couple needed some help. And so they came to church and they brought this little cushion to be prayed over. Pillow. So I prayed over the pillow. But that night going home, a woman named Mrs. Lamb, she said, Brother Bill prayed entirely wrong. She grabbed the cushion and she prayed over it. Stupid preacher, stupid congregation. Always mess everything up. They mess water baptism up too. How many people in the congregation, you know, only two guys to teach you wrong? Even our water baptism. Okay? A perversion of scripture. Why? Because it says here, it's not the pudding, the way of the filth of flesh, but it is an answer of a good conscience. How do you know you've got it? Good conscience, unless something has happened to you. Why, that's why people are right today. Say, why haven't you got peace with God? He said, my conscience bothers me. Uh-huh. Water baptism answers good conscience toward God. No, it doesn't save you in the sense of putting away filth your flesh. It doesn't wash away your sins. But there's something there that's vital as concerning you, or you don't win the water. There's something there that you know about. See, there's something you're looking at. But you people take these verses and they say, well, there it is. You see, it, now you're in the water. It hasn't got a thing to do with your salvation. Then why is it there? Why is it there? What if you had a horse that weighed about 2 tons? Lovely big horse, 2 tons. That's quite a monster. But he had a 500 lump on his back, which is a tumor. He's a nicer horse, I suppose. There's something wrong with the horse. Well, let's say he's a nice big horse and you cut his leg off. See what I mean? Scripture. You don't add, you don't take away. People are funny. I mean, they're peculiar. See? Now, an answer good conscience toward God. There's something in there. But they take that little thing that Peter uses to explain, to put it in the right perspective. Say, sure, this is not the blood of Jesus Christ. This is not justification. This is not regeneration. But this is it that you're to do. Let's answer good conscience toward God. See? Something in it. Something there. Okay. Let's go to Romans, the 8th chapter. Ninth verse, the last part. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Now, that's a good verse of Scripture. It's an excellent verse of Scripture. And that's true. Now, you can be baptized in water and doesn't receive the Holy Ghost. It still doesn't say you're one of his. But it still stands there that it must be obeyed and done. Okay? Okay, let's go to another scripture. 1 Corinthians 12. You know what I'm looking at. 13th verse. Once one spirit were baptized into one body. Now he tells you what that baptism is. The baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's the big thing. Alright? That's the great thing. But water baptism is still something. Okay? It's still vital. It's still necessary. Whether it be Jew or Gentile, bond or free, made to drink into one spirit. The 18th verse. But now have God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it pleased him. The blood is way ahead of water. But water's there. Even with water and blood, you've got to be baptized with the Holy Ghost to be a part of the bride. You say, well, that's great. I'll get the Holy Ghost. Never mind the water. Never mind the blood. Hogwash. Now people say, but just a minute now. I'm going to take the blood, I'm going to take the Holy Ghost, but I don't need the water. You're a liar. And you got no Holy Ghost when you talk like that. Lousy church member. See? I'm not steamed up, I'm just laying this thing down. Because brother, sister, there's not one word of God that's void of power. That's when I preach presence, I don't preach it like a lot of people. Got my own brand, reality. Got it from him. I know what it does. Okay? Oh, yeah. Now, God does this. God does this baptizing with the Holy Ghost, but you and I do the other. But we're to do it. Now, the pastor, the deacon, the elder, the evangelist, the apostle, the prophet. See? Right down the line can baptize you. Could be an instrument in the hands of God. Preach and all these things. But God's got to baptize you. But this is something you do. See? And you don't leave either one out. Let's go to Acts 10. Oh, this one really worked a bugbear with me, I can tell you right now. I came up in Pentecost. I came up the hard way. Hard nut of a Pentecost. 47, when Peter spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because it on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnified God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have not received the Holy Ghost as well as we? Now the Bible says, repent and be baptized in water, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. But these got the Holy Ghost. And nobody knew they'd even repented. Because you can't see that. And they weren't baptized in water. But they didn't get the Holy Ghost. You say, well then, who needs it? Who needs water? So it's very easy to denigrate it. And say, well, look it. You don't have to get baptized in water. Really, you don't. You can receive the Holy Ghost. And then you can do it. Now listen, that can happen, but that's wrong. Well, you say it was right there. Yeah. It was right there. Just the same as God said, don't make any graven images. And he himself commanded a serpent made out of brass to be hanged upon the pole as the antidote. These people here had no idea that God was bringing in the Gentiles, so he had to baptize them with the Holy Ghost and show them that the same command was there. Repent and be baptized, every one of you.
Hallelujah.
Name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter himself at Pentecost has said it. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, was promised unto you. Jews, your children, Jews, and all that are far off, which are Gentiles. Karen, Jerusalem, be due to the power of on high, and then Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then the uttermost parts of the earth for the Gentiles. See? They didn't understand that door was being opened. But from that time on, it is repent and be baptized in water to receive the Holy Ghost. All right, let's go back to Luke. I want to show you why people aren't serious. Oh, my. If Jesus Christ were God, and he was, because God incarnated himself in him, and he stands right there, and even if he wasn't God per se, he said, I don't say one word except I hear my Father say it first. Now he said, repent and be baptized. Paul said the wholesome words of our Lord Jesus Christ. People don't believe they're too wholesome. If we really believe they're wholesome, we get somewhere. We build them wholesome ourselves. All right. The 23rd verse, 23rd chapter, I beg your pardon. 39 to 43. One of his malefactors which were hand-railed him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. The others answered and rebuked him, saying, dost thou not fear God, seeing you're in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we received the due reward of our deaths, but this man had done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, get out off the cross and get baptized in water. He didn't say that, did he? Now, because he didn't say it, people say, well, hey, you really don't need to get baptized in water, do you? Now look at that thief in the cross. Look at those down there Gentiles. Look. Shut up and look at this! That's what's wrong with people. What do you care about examples out there? What do you care about tradition? What do you care about anything you're cotton picking lousy experiences? I said before, a prophet of God, I told you 4.5 hours, beating my gums, beating my brains, refusing to believe what I heard. Just every time he said, the baptism with the Holy Ghost is not the rebirth. I didn't know he was talking to a bunch of people down there, didn't know split peas and buttermilk. I was one of them. After 4.5 hours, I said, are you trying to tell me the baptism and the Holy Ghost and the rebirth is one of the same things? He said, now you got a doc. I said, hold it right there. What about your two experiences? What if you had said to me, what about your two boys, Brother Vail? I said, what two boys? Or my wife had them. She said, what two boys? I said, you ought to know you had them. I was going crazier by the minute. I said, what about the time you're in that shed? I said, that cross of light spoke in tongues. You went out there jumping and screaming and rejoicing because your sins are forgiven. And next time I said, I think in the woodshed or something, like rain pelting your body. And I said, you're full of the Holy Ghost. He said, Brother Vail, we don't go by experience. We go by the Word of God. Then this church goes by the Word of God. Not by your experience. You see, I jumped on everybody. I said, big people say, I jumped, I hollered, I did this. I can look at churches around here. Yes, I could name your churches. And you had them run to the altar. And you said, you got it. And turned on the Word of God. Oh, you want to go by experience. You'll burn in hell with your experience. Christ is not an experience. He's a life. Word anointed for this hour and people turn it aside. That old thief made it because he couldn't get to the water.
That's right. Amen.
Water doesn't save you, my brother, my sister. You're not born again by it. You're not regenerated by it. You're not filled by it. But you better do it. So why don't you just tell us why? I prefer to do it this way.
Praise the Lord.
Because you know why? You could forget in a hurry. The constant repetition like rain falling, which is the Word of God. Let the light of God's Spirit fall upon it and do something for you. See? All right. B. Let's look at the scripture taken by those who had overemphasized by imputing to it a wrong intention. Over here in Acts, the 22nd chapter. Here Paul is reiterating, while he's telling his experience, he reiterates over in 26. But he tells his experience. In 22, 1 to 16, men and brethren, fathers, hear my defense which I make unto you. And when they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silence. And he saith, I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, the city in Cilicia, yet brought up in the city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God as y'all are this day. And I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prison both men and women, as also the high priest that bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were there bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished. And it came to pass that as I made my journey, that was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. Now the Jews wonder why they're in a pogrom right today and why they get annihilated and everything else in the Holocaust. They said, he said, his blood be upon us and our children. Yeah. They could shed his blood. Throw his blood to one side like people throw water to one side. Well, it's all part of the Word of God. I didn't write the book, I preach it. And I intend to be serious about my preaching. I got an answer for it. Now he said, came to pass, I made my journey, was come nigh to Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a light, great light around about me. And I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? I answered, who are you, Lord? And he said, I'm Jesus of Nazareth, whom you persecute. They that with me saw indeed the light were afraid, and they heard not the voice. In other words, they couldn't tell the audible voice that spoke. They didn't hear the words. It was like a thunder, you see. And I said, what shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said to me, arise, go to Damascus. There shall be told thee of all the things which are appointed for thee to do. And when I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus. And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having good report of all the Jews who dwelt there, came and stood before me and said, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked upon him, and he said, God of our fathers chosen thee, that thou shouldst know his will, and see that just one, and should hear the voice of his mouth. Notice he called the pillar of fire the just one. He said, you saw him. Now Peter said, in Pentecost, you kill the just one. Here he is back to the pillar of fire. See? All right. For thou shalt be witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And now why tarriest thou? Rise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Now they say right there, you go in the water, and baptize in Jesus' name, your sins are washed away. That's not true! Because Peter said it's not true! Now sir, now, wash away thy sins. What he was doing there, his repentance, and his repentance toward God, and this little preaching right here was what gave it to him, caused him to have repentance, and to turn to him that he had, the one that he had called Lord. And that's the one that was to forgive him of his sins, and atone through his blood. Then he could go to the water. But you'll find that people invariably, in the Jesus only, Pentecostals, and the Church of Christ, and so on, want to take this and say, get baptized in water, and that does it. And that's what the Baptists are doing also. But not as far as these guys, because they'll talk about Jesus Christ, and then say, get baptized in water, and they'll call that the real thing. They carry it too far. See, absolutely carry it too far. All right, let's go to Acts, the second chapter. Now, Peter's talking. Paul is over here. Now, here's Peter. And the second chapter, verse 38, and he says here, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin. It's not for, it's unto remission of sin. In other words, because sins are remitted, you are now baptized in water. All right. Let's go to the sixth chapter of the book of Romans. I read this the other day and showed you. There are too many people who will take this and say, hey, that is water baptism. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Now let's find out what baptism into Jesus Christ is. As the body is one and has many members and all the members of that body being one being many are one, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Now it tells you what that baptism is. It's the Holy Spirit baptism. This is not water. Water doesn't go into you. You go into the water. The Holy Spirit comes into you. And when He does, you're forming the corporate body of Christ. So therefore, you're in Christ by baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's a different story entirely. Therefore, we're buried with Him by baptism into death. Like as Christ was baptized up, raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so shall we also walk in newness of life. Now, if you want to, you can put that into water baptism as a type. I baptize in water, signifying the fact that I'm indeed dead unto the old life and alive unto the new. That is, He died and rose again, even so, and I show that I was dead in my sins and I arise to newness of life, which means I'm going to walk right into the Holy Ghost. Now you see, that was the promise. Now do you understand, if there's a promise, repent, be baptized, that's your job, then God's got to do His job, which is filling the Holy Ghost. And someone says, well, that's a feeling, hogwash. It's the Word of God.
Amen.
See, people don't understand. Too much back in Pentecost, there was too much shouting and jumping amongst the Methodists. There's too much shouting and jumping amongst the Pentecostals. Not that I'm against it. That's fine. The only thing that doesn't jump is dead. I'm not against this. I'm not for a dead religion. No, not by any means. But neither, brother, sister, am I going to be confused by noise and much to do as though that were the Holy Ghost. See? Why, if you're full of the Holy Ghost, you'll testify to the Word. You won't shut up. They can't shut you up.
Amen.
But it's going to be for the Word. Now, for if we've been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall also be in His resurrection. Now, the water doesn't do that. No, sirree. It's the Holy Ghost that guarantees your resurrection. Knowing this, our old man is crucified with Him, the body of sin might be destroyed. Who should deliver me? Through Christ Jesus our Lord, there is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. That's baptism with the Holy Ghost. Now, that we henceforth should not serve sin. You don't have to. Why? Because it'd be just because of a little symbology? No way. You've been loosed from the thraldom of sin into the thraldom of life. It's two different things entirely. Why, listen. Let's just take a look. What if you could take a little puppy dog that you know that almost has a nervous breakdown because he thinks he's a human being? And one day by some divine alchemy, you could take the dog and turn him into a human being. He wouldn't be a dog anymore. You wouldn't have to worry about a little Rover sniffing around and doing this and the other thing. Why? You'd have to worry about opening drawers and pulling the pots and pans out like a kid. Because he ain't a dog no more. He's a child. Well, that little gene down in there was so submersed by sin, cut it up until he had no bearings. But he gets his bearings at the rebirth. Certainly it's a new life. He's no longer sheep gone astray. See? There's been a change there. Now, free he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if he be dead with Christ, we believe we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more. Death's got no more to me nor him. For in that he died once unto sin. He lives unto God. All right. There you see the perfect picture. Jesus Christ died that we might have life, and His life comes into us. Now you can take water baptism and say, well, fine, understand that. We're going to put it as a type here. But when you want real life, you don't have a type. You get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now you say, well, this could be a mixture of the two. All right, but don't you dare put that water baptism where you're going to get life. No way, they do it. They do it, brothers and sisters. Churches are doing it over the land. And other churches are simply baptizing you into their community of believers. It won't work. Go to Colossians, the second chapter. And see the same thing there. In the 10th plus verses. For you are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. Now, if you're in Him, you're complete. In whom also you're circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. In the putting off of the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Well, that guarantees you right there that your body of sin is gone when Jesus died upon Calvary, provided you're full of the Holy Ghost. Buried with Him in baptism, we're also risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God. What faith of operation of God took you out of that water? If the preacher didn't get you up, you get up yourself. I'm not talking about that. He's talking about what God's doing for you. Talking about what God's doing for you. Jesus died upon Calvary to impute every single thing to you that lay in Him, which was forgiveness of sins and eternal life. And now you have it. And you being dead in your sins and uncircumcision in your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you of all trespasses. Now there you are, you see, the forgiveness leads you to the water, and the water leads you to the baptism. Three steps. Yep. Doesn't fail. All right. And some would like to make, there are those, as I said, who make too little of 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter in verse 21. There are those that make too much of it. Let's go back and take a look at it. And like figure one, even baptism doth also now save us by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So they say, there you are, water baptism. It saves you. They'll turn it right around and pervert it. I said, there you are. No wonder we need a prophet. We need somebody that's vindicated to tell us some of these things. Because we're certainly messed up by ourselves. Yep. He says, but these preachers, you might as well go to an alcoholic, a rubby-dub that'll go into your bathroom and drink your fingernail lotion if there's any alcohol in it, or pick up your boot polish if it's in a bottle, if there's any alcohol in it. Don't think they don't. Stuff they'll drink and kill you in 5 seconds. Saw one guy one time going on a bus, and he was so loaded down with actual alcohol, you know, with the stuff that you shouldn't drink, the wood alcohol. He had big bottles here, and he had big bottles there, and big bottles. He must have had about 8 bottles in his coat. And he's going to these rubby-dubby friends, and they're going to add water and drink this stuff. They got to the place of immunity. They died, don't worry. No. Here you are. Tells us. It's not the putting away that built the flesh. There's no way. It's a good thing we got a prophet to reveal these things. Because we take this word, it becomes poison to us. That's exactly right. And there's got to be, we got to be turned back to the original, the way it should be. Now, we can plainly see there is no place for regeneration outside of the baptism with the Holy Ghost. It is not by water. But listen, let's go back to Jesus. Now let's look at His baptism. See, it isn't regenerational. That's not water baptism. It doesn't take away your sins. Now look, Jesus was baptized in water. And we got to be baptized the same way. Now He said, thus it behooves us to fulfill all righteousness. John said, I don't show you didn't ask me to do it. Well, He said, I got to do it. Now, a prophet came on the scene and said that was the washing of the sacrifice. Now, let's look at the washing of a sacrifice in Leviticus chapter 1, maybe about 13 verses. It tells you in there, when you make a sacrifice unto the Lord, this is one, an offering by fire for sin. You bring the animal, lay your hand upon it. The animal is killed. The priest, maybe you partake of it, I don't know. But they took the head off and the body. And they laid it on the altar to burn it, the fire. And they cut off the legs and the insides, the viscera. That's where what's inside the calf, the heart, the lungs and the bowels and all those things. And you notice that they took the legs off, which would be from the knees on down, four of them. They cut them off. disjoint the joints. And then they took the viscera and they washed it. See? Now, you might look at the fact of saying, why would they do that? Well, let's look at it. The feet are on the ground. That signifies a walk. That signifies the contact. The inside signify what you are inside. So they'd have to be washed. But you see, Jesus wasn't unclean. See? So you can't talk about that in that respect. Now, He was the sacrifice. So therefore, He would go through washing. You see? As the sacrifice being typical. But I'm trying to show you, He didn't need cleaning up with water, and water will not clean us either any more than the clean hair at Pontius Pilate's hands. He said, I said, all right, I just washed my hands and let it go. See? Christ was clean inside. He said, oh, I only say what my Father tells me to say, clean inside. He said, I only do what my Father tells me to, clean hands. I only go where my Father tells me. He must needs go to Samaria. Only, all contact He had with the earth, everything He had was perfect. So therefore, the washing of the water did not signify a cleansing. See? It signified more of the separation Now, not only that, not just the separation, it signified beyond that, and greater still, the witness. Because John had to come baptizing in water. And he said, that one that's in the water, in baptism, that's the one when you see the Holy Ghost fall. That's that clean one.
Hallelujah.
He said, I'm indwelling him. It was a testimony. It was a witness. And that's exactly what Peter said. He said here, not the putting away the filthy flesh, but a witness, an answering back of a good conscience. All right. How are you going to have the best conscience in all this world toward God? Except you let your own conscience go because you ain't got one. His brother man said he got no more conscience, snake's got his. Now he didn't say that about you. He said that about certain people, and I'm going to put you in that same category, and I put myself there too, because that's true. We have a very convenient conscience.
That's right.
When it comes face to face, brother, sister, it doesn't matter what kind of a conscience you got anyway, it's not going to do one thing for you unless you know that he stands in your stead. And that's what you're witnessing to, just the same as God said, he's standing here for you. That is that one in whom I'm pleased to dwell. That is that one that I have sealed. That is that one. It was the witness. See? And the good conscience was right there. He wasn't being washed as though he was unclean. And neither are you being washed as though you're unclean and now you're getting clean. It's because you're depending on him who is clean. You're witnessing to it. We'll go further than that. His time goes on. Alright, now, see, the third thing is, first of all, too little importance. Too much importance. Thirdly, they do it wrong. Now, you couldn't get anything messed up better than that, could you? The rites of water baptism are perverted by man. One, there are those who pour or sprinkle, and where they get this is beyond me. For baptizo categorically means to immerse. And it's the same word in the Hebrew that means to dip, as when people dye cloths or clothes in a dye, and they dip it in. Remember the story of Achilles' heels? The dragon blood? Mom or pop or somebody picked him up by the heel and forgot to transmit him to the other hand, and one little place on the heel didn't get the blood, right? So what happened? They killed him by way of the heel. All right. You take a cloth and you dip it. But you keep your fingers there, and the dye doesn't get to it. It's not thoroughly immersed. What is it? Your cloth is kind of spoiled. You'd have to cut that corner out. So therefore, what do? You literally take the cloth and drop it into the vat of dye, and you take a stick and you poke it down. And I don't consider anybody baptized unless they're down under the water. If you got one arm up, you better get baptized over again. If your head's out of the water, I think you better get baptized over again. I never saw a person buried yet with the head sticking out of the grave. I'm not saying it couldn't happen. But it's not a burial as far as I'm concerned. One of the most gruesome things in all the world would be some poor corpse and a landslide come and shake the grave loose and the casket loose and you see the hand out of the clay. You say, that fellow needs reburying. How are you going to do it? How are you going to be buried with him if it isn't a burial? The dipping is exactly scriptural. It is very evident that plunging the whole body into water is required when one views even the simple statement of John 3:22-23. Let's just take a look at John 3:22-23, know what it says. After these things came Jesus and his disciples in the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and he been baptized. And John also was baptizing in Anan near to Salem, because there was much water there. Why do you need much water if you're going to pour them or sprinkle them? You need enough water to get them down under the water as in death. Let's go also Matthew 3:16. Let's see what that tells us here. This one could be interesting. If this is the right one. Yeah, Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. They said, well, that means he crawled over the bank. I don't believe that for 1 minute. Came up straightway out of the water. In other words, it's a rapid transmission of progress. He simply brought under the water and brought right up. It's exactly what happened. And that's exactly when the heavens were opened. He saw the Spirit of God coming, descending down upon him as a dove. John Wesley, as do other students, tell us that Nicodemus well understood water baptism. And you would, and Jesus, knowing he did, spoke to him in John, the 3rd chapter, verses 1-10. Now this here is argued by other theologians. Oh yes, other theologians will argue this. I don't know. They can if they want to. But it says about water baptism. There was a certain man, the Pharisees, named Nicodemus, ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know you're a teacher. Come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus said, truly, truly, I say, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said, how can a man be born? He is old. Can in the second time his mother's womb be born? And Jesus said, truly, truly, except a man be born of water, even the Spirit, he can enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh, is flesh that is born of the Spirit marvelous in, you must be born again. The Spirit breatheth where he willeth. And you hear the sound of his voice, but you can't tell where he comes from or where he's going, so is everyone born of the Spirit. And Nicodemus said, how can these things be? And Jesus said, are you a master of Israel and don't know these things? What things did he know? He knew when if you transferred from the Gentiles to the Hebrew, or from a tribe to a tribe, you were fully baptized in water that says, I'm dead and I'm rising to a new life. That's exactly history. Nicodemus knew it. Because the rites were there. But they didn't understand the rites. Where they took 3 pieces of bread and they broke one and put it under a cloth and hid it. Signifying the 3 manifestations of Godhead where he come as a man and pour out his life. And go down to Hades and rise again for our justification. There is no doubt from 1 Corinthians 10 that immersion is demanded. Let's go to 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. Here's the story of the Israelites. Moreover, brethren, verse 1, I wouldn't have you ignorant that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses. A cloud is water and sea is water. There was water above, there's water around, there's water below. They were baptized. And how in the world can you take baptism to mean sprinkling or pouring? It doesn't cut. Furthermore, the oldest known manuscript, called the Didache, of the 2nd century A.D., places water baptism as immersion. And they say the ideal place is running water. And if you cannot get running water to immerse them, you'll get a lake that may be just simply standing there, or a pond, which is next. And if you can't get that, you can take a baptismal pool. And if they're dying, and you cannot get to water at all, they even accepted that you put a pan of water below them and a pan of water above them, signifying they're doing their dead level best to get a baptism in water. And yet people say, well, isn't it just? See, I'm trying to get that across to you, brother, sister. Everything lives today like it never lived before. They were obsessed with something back there. Brother Branham must have known something that somehow he couldn't get across just concerning water baptism, because he said, there's water, get baptized. That's what Philip said. Preaching that eunuch. Got there in the carriage together. Opened the book of 53rd of Isaiah to him. And Philip must have said the same thing Peter said, repent and be baptized. And soon they came to body of water. Now that old boy, let's face it. He had to have a jug of water in the caravan. Why didn't Philip say, hey, have you got a jug of water? Let me sprinkle you. There's a body of water. He said, look, there's a whole body of water. He said, what hinders me? Why? He said, nothing hinders if you believe Jesus is the Christ. He said, man, he said, you certainly I believe. What do you think I was asking those questions for? Couldn't get down the water fast enough. Then he said, Philip got caught away. You think God would have caught him away on a bad mission? However, not only is the ceremony itself distorted by many, but so are the very consecrated words that are to be used. For Matthew 28:19 is pitted against all other scripture records where the actual names are used instead of titles. Every ancient record known testifies to the fact that Father, Son, and Holy Ghost are words of titles, and were brought to us by Roman Catholics, and it is their baptism. Actually, this is absolutely the truth because I read it myself. The Roman Catholic theologians, because they know it is their baptism, no longer stop Protestants baptized in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. As though they were heathen, they say they belong to our church. And they can get married in the church and anything else they want to do. They haven't lowered their standards. Their standards already were low. That's how the Protestants can get in. Like Brother Branham said, he said, we lowered the bars. And he said, how'd the goats get in? He said, you lowered the bars. Protestant goat, be happy you're going home. I told you how it was over there in London. This great preacher went over there. And he was a Methodist brother. He was spoken in tongues or Lutheran or something. It was a great, great meeting. And now it's a full gospel businessman meeting going on. And in a Roman Catholic priest that prays for the sick, speaks in tongues. He's a great man of God. He gets up there and he's going to pray for these full gospel businessmen, this great congregation of Pentecost. He said, well, well, well. He said, this is a switch. He said, years ago, he said, you Pentecostals prayed for us Roman Catholics. And he said, now a Roman Catholic is praying for you Pentecostals. Why don't you come home to Mother? They already were home. Right. Safe in the arms of Mother. Right on her rotten breast. Right. They're feeding her rotten nourishment. Right. It won't be, it'll be in hell, but not safe their rest. Listen, let's get this flat, brother, sister. Mama Hoor had a lot of daughters and they're Protestants. Show me who's protesting today. They're only too happy to go back. Pentecost stuck his neck out and said, the evidence of the baptism of the Holy Ghost was speaking in tongues. And now nuns and Catholics are speaking in tongues and exalting the Pope as the vicar of Jesus Christ. And they've got to accept it because they got themselves in a bind. Amen. Oh, come on, come on. That's what's wrong with this message. The preachers are taking the people back to Pentecost. Oh, they say, I come out of Babylon. But did Babylon come out of you? Ha! Sure, that's the trouble. Now, I got no big axe to grind. Just let you know flat. I preach here. Yep. You know that too, don't you? Yeah. This is the pulpit the Lord gave me. You might not think so. It's okay by me. You say, well, Brother Vail, what if he preaches out of here? That's fine. You go ahead. If I tell you one thing, I can't preach you in. Somebody's going to preach you out. At least I'm doing something for you. Listen, I wasn't kidding when I said, look, if you ever want to leave here, just be nice enough to tell me and I'll see that you get out and you never come back. And you say, Brother Vail, you're a rotten, dirty dog. I never said I wasn't. That's what scares me. For a couple of years, I've been the dirtiest dog under high heaven. Now they're all patting me on the back and saying, nice, nice fella, nice fella. And I'm more scared than ever. I kid you not. Listen, I'm not lying. I'm laughing. But I'll tell you one thing. I'm not stupid. I'll tell you right now, the axe is ready to fall pretty soon. You better get ready for it, too. It'll come from a quarter you won't believe. That's all right. I'm not talking riddles. I'm just telling you a plain, straight fact. Now, embracing titles, again referring to the Didache, that ancient manuscript places water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It also mentions one must be full of the Holy Spirit to partake of the elements of the Lord's Supper, and Brother Branham added foot washing, which is 100% correct. In the Church Age book on page 28, you'll find an excerpt from Time magazine, December 5th, 1955, telling of the water baptism of Marcus Vasca by Deacon Publius Decius. That took place in 100 A.D. in Rome. In it, the words are used, I baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And one day a Roman Catholic priest said to Brother Branham, we used to use those very words, Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, yeah, they knew. Listen, the Roman Catholics are great historians. And you know who hates the Roman Catholics the worst? Seventh-day Adventists and Jehovah's Witnesses, and they're better historians than any of them. I'm going to tell you something. History does nothing for you. A revelation does. I don't care two bits if the Roman Catholic Church used to baptize the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They could be wrong as all get out. What does the Bible say? What does the Vindicated Revelation say? The vindicated revelation said by the prophet who opened all the seals. And under the seventh seal it says, I command you to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you've been baptized in any other way, I command you, thus saith the Lord, to be rebaptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you've got any doubts, let me tell you this. I'm not kidding. I wasn't kidding the other day. We'll rent the church again if they'll give it to us. Or we'll go down here to Kaiser Lake or right down here or dam up this little creek or something. Don't worry, there's water. There's plenty of water. The rain's coming down. The water's going to rise. We'll take you down. If you've got any doubts, my brother, my sister, you had better be rebaptized if you've got doubts. Now, you don't need to have doubts if it's been done right, but I know the human mind. I know Brother Brandon said because I questioned him thoroughly on it. If you've been baptized correctly, you do not need to be baptized over again. But he also said, if you have doubts, that's where your faith stops. And somebody said, well, I understand this man here that baptized me. Well, he made Brother Branham God. Brother Bill, I just don't know. I say, hold it. If you don't know and you're hung up, come on. We'll get someone to baptize you.
Amen.
All over again. I'm not a guy running around to get people rebaptized and remarried and this and that and the other thing. You know, we could have a merry-go-round. Fat. We're not a conveyor belt here. But look! There's something you got to hang up. You haven't got faith in it? Get your faith right. That's all I'm trying to tell you. All right, listen. Brother Branham on page 18 of Future Home. Now here, listen. Before God can come down in the person of the Holy Spirit, which is Christ coming down to dwell in the human heart, it first must be repentant. Listen. It must be baptized in water in His name to show who it belongs to. There's your witness right there. I belong to Jesus. You know why you get baptized in water? Because you're saying, look, I belong to Jesus. Paul said, who are you, Lord? I'm Jesus. Yeah. Jesus. Yes. Well, he said, I've been claiming that you own me. I've been claiming that I belong to you and I'm trying to kill you and everything starts with you. Well, he said, I got to do something about it. Yeah, he said, get baptized. Amen. Yeah, Christian baptism. To show who you belong to. That's what the prophet said. Now, did you know you're getting baptized? That was it? Fact. Pentecostals. They're getting baptized to a position. They get baptized to a gift. They get baptized this. They get baptized that. They get baptized. Ha ha! It's the prophet said here. I'm reading it. Before God can come down in the person of the Holy Spirit, which is Christ coming down to dwell in the human heart, it first must be repent. Right in here. Repent. Yeah. A sheep gone astray. I need God. It must be baptized in water in His name to show who it belongs to. And to show who it used to belong to. Yeah, that's why Paul got baptized. Because he claimed Jesus. Who are you? He said, I'm Jesus. Well, he said, you mean to tell me you're the one that I've been trying to serve and all? Now listen, Brother Banner said the same thing. He said, listen, you people, the very God that you claim to worship is here to destroy you. The very God they claim to worship. They're in a human form. They said, let's crucify him. Now listen, if that is true, a witness to whom we belong to, and we know it is true, no wonder there has to be a return to the proper name in water baptism before Christ the Holy Spirit in the person can come down and set himself at the head of the church to raise the dead. If it takes the proper baptism to simply bring him into your heart, what has the church got to do? It's got to return to the proper Lord Jesus Christ understanding of Godhead and water baptism to bring him right here. And when they began to understand, that's exactly when he came on the scene and cleared the whole record. He said, now that you got this far back, you see, to whom you belong, who it was that paid that price, that this one was the blood of God, this was that incarnate one, not a second, third, fourth person and so on, but it was that one. That God had come down in that form of a human body. And that life, I'm going to talk on Logos one of these. You see, don't get alarmed because I preach five times on this. I preached a lot on Logos, but the people couldn't take it. I don't say you did, but there were some who couldn't do it. I'm going to go back to preaching. I'm going to talk more and more about it because I know exactly how Jesus, how God became His own Lamb and how He became His own priest. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, I got to start singing. I love him because I do love him. Because you see, why I don't know why he loves me, but if he likes me, that's good. I think that's great. He loves me. And I think I love him a little bit too. But the revelation is fantastic. See, because here is where life is. All right. He comes down, sets himself ahead of the church to raise the dead. And just think back in Jesus' day, he came unto his own. And his own received it not. But that won't happen today. No, sir. It's not going to happen today. I can tell you that categorically, my dear brother, my sister. Let's go to John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. He said, in my Father's kingdom, there are many great mansions, you know, many great principalities, you know, layouts there. He were not so I told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place, you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there you may be also. For 2,000 years, he's been making the new Jerusalem, and he's going to come and get us. Oh, yeah. Not this time he come to his own reject him. No! Here's where election comes in for the surety of the shed blood. I'll lose none but raise him up at the last day. You see, people get worried they're going to miss the rapture. How are you going to miss the rapture if you're born again? How are you going to miss the rapture? That's one of the words. And you're a part of that word. How are you going to miss what you're a part of? That. Gracious me, God didn't redeem any serpent seed. He doesn't take that soul of yours and annihilate it. Take that old cotton-picking body of yours and bring it right back to elements and recreate. You have no more serpent in you than nothing.
Hallelujah.
Absolutely pure, just like the Son of God himself. We'll see him just the way he is. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians there. Paul, they're all worried. They say, Paul, what about this? What about that? He said, you guys, let me tell you something. He said, don't worry about that resurrection and rapture. I'm going to tell you, don't worry about those that are sleeping. Worry about yourself. If you believe Jesus died and rose again, that's what it says. That's the simple gospel. Even so, them which sleep in Jesus will God bring forth with him. And this we say unto the word, Lord, thus saith the Lord, that we which are alive remain under the presence of the Lord. Well, if he's present then, what are they talking about? He wasn't present then. This is Ephesians 1:15 plus. The Spirit of wisdom in the church. That Spirit wasn't there. Wasn't there. No, sir, he wasn't present. Now you're present unto the shall not prevent those or take precedence or take any preeminence over them that are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from the shout. Now Brother Branham said it was the shout was the message. I said, I read over here to you. When he says in here, you might have thought I was saying this about myself, seeing I'm packing this message. I've got no more to do with this word preaching it than nothing. No more than just the voice. And right in the Greek it says it's not said to be the voice of God himself. It's another man. Meanie said that day on the bank, she told me to close my eyes. Well, I closed my eyes because I was used to being Bill. And she said, and she, after it was over though, and he came out of the water, I said, Bill, I heard what was said, but that was your voice that said it. And he said, he just smiled and walked on. And I said, Meanie, I'll tell you why. There it is right there. Don't hold email to no Greek scholar, but mine and Roger and the rest are Greek scholars, and they say it is not said to be the voice of the Lord. What did he use? He always used the prophet, and people come by and say, ain't no prophets. And if he ain't no prophets, he ain't no God.
Right.
Coming for you. You show me where God come without a prophet. Oh, come on, there's John the Baptist. You mean he ain't going to do it again? Hogwash. Why, you bunch of infidels. Ain't no place in hell hot enough to roast these people. That's why God's going to burn the lake of fire. You say, Brother Bailey, you're vengeful. What do you expect me to be? What do you expect me to be? Tramp on Jesus Christ, tramp on his word? Where do you think that puts me? Like one fellow over here in Europe. I was in Fort Wayne one day. All these nice big boys and so-called the big shots of the message sitting there. I come in. They bring this guy's up name and I said, I hate him. Oh my God, they died right there. Well, they said, you don't mean you hate him. You hate him. Yes, I said, I hate him.
Praise the Lord.
I said, you guys, let's get this flat. I said, he can make me a goat, that's fine. When you make William Branham a false prophet, I don't have any hope, and you don't either, and you say you love him? You got to be sick. David said, I hate the enemies of God with a perfect hatred. I'm not quite yet there. In other words, I bring my own stinking nature in instead of the zeal of Almighty God. Oh, sure. I'm not starting any fights. You tell me, you people, you still sit here with that sweet, sweet stuff about you. What are you talking about? You're supposed to be sweet and kiss the devil's foot? Let's open every jail. Let's all get herpes. Come on. Say, brother, sister, don't play your stuff with me. Don't play games with me because it's too late. Because I'm going to come back. I didn't ask to come back. He said, I'm coming back. You know what he's going to do? He's going to change my nature. I won't be thinking of Lee Vale anymore. It won't be Lee Vale's honor. It won't be Lee Vale's anger. It won't be anything. It's going to be his entirely because we're going to be just like him.
Praise the Lord.
And the day of the wrath of our God is coming, my brother, sister. Now, would you sooner be destroyed or would you sooner be part that destroys? You said, wait till I get there. You're getting there awful fast. You ain't got too much time to wait, brother, sister. All liars will have their place. All whoremongers. All dogs. Male prostitutes. If you think this message is not invaded with homosexual and everything else, you're nuts. You better smarten up. I'm not naming names, but I can name names. Love them. Go ahead and love them. Yeah, or they pervert people. Go ahead. Oh, we're nicer than God, aren't we? Ah, well, I'll cut that out. I don't want to beat you too hard over the head. Listen. Tells you here the Lord himself is going to show it. He's going to descend. Listen. The Lord himself is going to do to get you and me. No slip up.
Amen.
No slip up. Matthew 25. Midnight the cry goes up, behold the bridegroom. Not cometh, behold him. He's here to be seen. You've got to see him to know your mate. The revealed word. You gotta see him to be changed. Sure. Now the Bible says that. Doesn't say you're gonna get changed. Then you're gonna see him. Says you're gonna see him. Then you're gonna get changed. And I'm supposed to shut my mouth and stand back while all these guys run around and say, what's this about the present? Be here for 2,000 years. I'm excited. Because he's here to get me out of here. He's here to raise the dead. Now, if you're not excited, he's been here for 2,000 years, you tell me one thing. How come the dead haven't been raised?
Amen, brother.
Sure, you see why the men that believe this message have a ring in their voice? They have a conviction that'll stand there? I got news here, brother, sister. Something's going on. It hasn't got a thing to do with the individual anymore. It's because he is here. He brings everything under subjection to him, under control. Headship is of God. Not a bunch of two-bit preachers running around. Come on. I kid you not. And it said they had the oil. That's why they could see him. Everybody looking at Luther. Looking at Wesley. Organization. I'm this, I'm that, the other thing. Come on. The door got shut. He made sure the door was shut. Yeah. Yeah, he enters all doors. Rooms, the door's being shut. But I'm going to tell you, when you get in his room, he shuts the door. Yep. All right, you've got to be identified as to ownership. It's not Methodist. I'm Baptist. I belong here. I belong there. Be baptized and titled. I belong to Jesus. I witnessed who my owner and master is. And I've been sealed in by the wedding ring of divine grace of the baptism with the Holy Ghost. I've got my wedding garment on. The Holy Spirit. Brother Branham also said the wedding garment was the Word. I can prove it by my faith in the Word. I'm ready to go off to the marriage supper. That's exactly what you're saying. That's what it's all about. That's where you're going. Now, we mentioned before, faith in the Word. That's it. We remember one of the other messages. Categories, the Bible said, go to all the world and preach the gospel. And he that believeth what? Believes the gospel shall be saved. He doesn't believe the gospel, going to be damned. If you don't believe the gospel, why get baptized? If you do believe, you're supposed to get baptized. See? That's why I see people, they come in this message. Something already tells them, hey, I got to get baptized in water. Are you ready for baptism? Say, when do you want to get baptized? Right away.
Amen.
We got a case like up there in Canada. The one says, I want to get baptized now. Let's go down to the lake. They say, well, hey, it's freezing. She says, so what?
Right.
So they phoned me and I said, well, I said, I never heard a person yet ever get sick out there in the water. I said, I know it's cold. But I said, if she really wants to get baptized and you guys got the guts, you go ahead and baptize her. I never known a person ever get sick yet. I've heard him getting healed and everything else, but never getting sick. It's good to indulge in water baptism. It's good for you. Some people get healed. He that believes is baptized shall be saved. That's what Peter did. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you. Now, let's go back again to Acts the 10th chapter and take a look at it. Now, Peter preaching. Of a truth, I perceive God's no respect of persons. In every nation, he that fears him works righteousness and accepted with him. The word is God sent the children of men, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say, you know, was published throughout all Judea, began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus and Nazareth the Holy Ghost and power, went about doing good, healing all the oppressed of the devil, for God is with him. And we are witness of all things he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hang upon a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly. Not to all the people, and the chosen ones, and so on. In verse 22, he commanded us to preach unto the people, and to testify that is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and dead. And to give, and I see who he is, he's judge. Right back there even. And to him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Now it tells you how you get remission of sins. You believe in his name. Now listen, while Peter spake the words, the Holy Ghost found them, heard the word. Now what was he doing? He's preaching the gospel. And what happened? They believed. They repented. Candidates for water. But those Jews wouldn't believe that. No way. So God had to convince them. So they received the Holy Ghost. Now he said, who can forbid water? Now when you ask a question like that, you don't say, hey, Peter was saying, well, look, now that they got the Holy Ghost, who needs water? He said, now that they got the Holy Ghost, who can forbid it? Because they'd have done it before. Amen. Peter would have just gone down there and preached and walked out of the house. That's what he'd done. He wasn't expecting anything great to happen. Even though the man had said, well, Peter's supposed to show you words whereby you must be saved. But Peter forgot that. He forgot that Jesus said, John truly baptized with water, but you received the Holy Ghost until this took place. These guys are good at forgetting things. So look at, I'm going to preach over and over again, and I don't forget, and you don't forget. Because we're warned not to forget. He forgot. Now, who can forbid water? How are you going to forbid it? No way. Now, that's the very same thing. Notice the Gentiles came in the same way the Jews come in. Repent and be baptized, every one of you. And that's based on the fact of the gospel. And there's only one gospel, that Jesus died according to Scripture. First of all, he was the Son of God according to Scripture. He lived according to Scripture. He died according to Scripture. He rose according to Scripture. He was seen according to Scripture. And he's on the throne doing these things according to Scripture. On the mercy seat, now he's on the throne. They say, I believe that. You believe that, you've got a right to get baptized. You say, what about this great big experience? What about running to the altar? What about it? You tell me. Peter didn't know they were going to get full of the Holy Ghost. Last thing he figured. He wasn't even going to give them water. Just go down and preach. And I guess he said to himself, well, I got to do this because God's in it. And evidently God is in it, so I'll just go down and do it. I'll leave it up to God. And it's a good thing he did. He messed up. So God showed him how he did things. He said, Peter, I told you, preach the word, and I'll fill them with the Holy Ghost after they're baptized. But he said, you wouldn't believe in the first place, so I'm going to convince you in the second place. So Peter goes down, and he preaches, he does his job, he said, wonderful, hallelujah. He said, I perceive, he said, that God doesn't respect persons, and you're nice guys, and I'm sure that you respect the Lord, so hallelujah, everything's rosy, and I hope something happens way down there. Boom, they begin speaking in tongues full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. He said, mercy me. He said, he didn't mean it whereby they should be saved. Isn't the Lord wonderful?
Amen. Hallelujah.
I'm going to tell you something, friend of mine, if you're elect, it may be at one time in your life you could hide behind a corkscrew, but there comes a time when you can stand beside the perpendicular and there won't be any shilly-shally. You'll measure up. God's going to get you there. There's only one gospel. That's exactly right. There's only one baptism in water. That's exactly right. That's right. Down in the water, Lord Jesus Christ. There is only one baptism with the Holy Ghost, because there's only one Spirit. There is only one true bride. Oh, come on, let's read and find out if I'm telling you the truth. Over in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, yeah. My, we got all night to preach. Goody, I got all kinds of notes left here. Of course, the last few pages run out in a hurry. That's the only trouble. I cannot tell you a lie, and then I can't, and then again, I might not be telling you the truth either, because it might take me longer than I think. All right. It says here, there is one body. That's fourth verse. One Spirit. Even as you're called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Yes, there it is. There's no more. Not a bunch of them. Okay. Let's go to Ephesians 25:27. Husband, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself. He might present it. Yeah. How? That he will sanctify it by the washing of water by the word. In other words, every word of every age has a certain power. And in this age, there is the washing of water by the word and the presentation of a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. You say, Brother Vail, do you mean to tell me I'm 100% justified? He doesn't have one thing against me, but you guessed it 100%. As Brother Branham said, he said, how can you make a man a sinner when the blood scatters sin? Shall there be no evidence of it? So you come behind a no gift waiting for the apocalypse. The revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's this hour. What do you say? They got the revelation back there. Oh, no, no. This is it. The book of Revelation was way down the road. When the ages had expired and the seventh church age was all but over. At that time he shall confirm you unto the end that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Absolutely perfect and whole. No guilt, no fear. That's how you're supposed to be. Now that's how he's going to present it. He's going to do it. Now listen, we look a little further. 30-32. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bone. How could we be impure if he's pure? And we're members. For this cause a man leaves father and mother, be joined to his wife, and the two become one flesh. God doesn't look upon us as separate from Jesus in flesh. Well, you say, that's the place I believe, Brother Bill, that the failure lies. You see what it is? I believe that somehow he could look at my soul and my spirit, and somehow he could take those, and he could do something. Ah, shut up. If there be no resurrection, forget it. Forget it. He's looking at your body.
Amen.
That's right. 100% perfect and whole. And he sees what's coming. And he sees you in his form, his flesh, and his bone. Water baptism says, I'm looking forward to that. Water baptism says, I'm owned by him. Water baptisms, I used to be owned by the devil and the churches and all those things. I'm not owned by them anymore in no way, shape, and form. I'm owned by him. You see, when the woman marries the man, he becomes the head. Why not? He's supposed to provide for her. Now it says here, this cause a man and his father and mother joined one flesh. This is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. And he's not speaking just of an individual now. He's speaking of the church. Say, I and my father are one. Well, that's nice. Somebody says that. The bride had better say it all together.
Amen.
Because that's what he's here for. Sure. All right. It is such a strange thing. People just can't stand that name used in water baptism. Isn't it funny? They can't stand the name. They claim to know it. They say, I know a name, a lovely name. The lovely name of Jesus. Isn't that strange? Because they can't stand the water baptism. They'll say wonderful things in songs about it. The name of Jesus is so sweet, I love his music to repeat. Oh, it makes me so happy and so complete. But water baptism, pray. Yeah. Christians? Full of the Holy Ghost? Brother, come on. Not this late hour, but as they better come in. They will pray in it. They'll perform miracles in it. They'll preach in it. They'll invoke it. They'll die for it. But water baptism? No, that's Jesus only. No, you can't do that. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, he said so. Show me one place where they did it. Not Jesus' name now. Lord Jesus Christ. How come? Oh, the devil used water baptism as that weak link. That weak link, even as Eve was the weak link. So there is repentance, water, baptism, and infilling. So they say, repentance, hallelujah, I've repented, glory to God. I've been justified and everything else. Now over here, I'm full of the Holy Ghost. Wonderful, wonderful. What about water baptism? Well, that little insignificant thing. There's really nothing to it. Somehow he shoved it in there, and I guess we'd better do it. The weak link. So now there's no name. No one God. And you don't think your water baptism is important to witness and to express ownership? Why does the devil hate it when it comes to this? Sure, we know why. Because it exposes a diabolical perversion of the Godhead where they claim three gods. That's why. And the devil's got them trapped in polytheism. When you baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're quoting 1 Peter 1, 2-6 and 18-25. Let's take a look at it. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in the heaven for you, kept by the power of God through faith and salvation, ready to be revealed in the last day. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, that now proceeding to need be your in heaviness, through manifold temptations, your trial of faith being much more precious and so on, waiting for the actual apocalypse of the Lord Jesus Christ, whom we not seen, you love? In whom though now you see him not yet believing? You rejoice at judgment being full of glory? What's going to happen when you do see him? Well, he's revealed at the end time. That's why Brother Branham could stand there, and I told you so often, I marveled. He talked about God. It's like he was holding. He reached out and take God. And I thought, how did he do it? When he was on that platform, the Spirit of God came. I was looking, William Branham, where God? Gone. Well, William Branham stood there. Fine, he could stand there forever for all I care. Really, I mean it. I knew he had a link with God. I knew it took a prophet. I didn't understand what I know now. But something in my heart kept looking, looking. But you know today, it's getting that way now. God. Yeah. Everything's got a meaning. Everything is concrete. Yeah. Oh, I hope you catch it. I hope you get what I'm saying. Look, it's got to be that way. It's got to work, my brother, my sister. There is no way that it cannot be this way. Listen, for as much as you know, you were not redeemed with corruptible things of silver and gold from your vain behavior received by tradition from your fathers. With the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without spot, without blemish, who barely was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest, perfectly clear as to who he was in these last times, you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing you purified your souls in obeying the truth of the Spirit unto the unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart, fervently being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. You know, years ago, a great theologian told me that word was spermos, not a spora. It's not germ as in seed, human sperma, but a spora as in flowers. Then corrupted by the word that God lives in the body forever, for all flesh is as grass, notice it. Yeah, you're born a sperm. You're born like a flower seed. The flesh goes away. But that spirit and soul of yours is one day going to be clothed by a glorified body coming up. The word of the Lord endures forever. This is the word by which the gospel is preached. And you baptized in that water signifies you belong to him because you heard the gospel that says he died for your sins. And he rose again for your justification. He's there pleading for you now, and he'll keep you until he brings you back the same way he is. Oh, yeah. There's a testimony there, brother, sister, and a witness. You are witnessing to the redemptive work of Jesus' death and resurrection. You are witnessing that as God filled the Son, so you are also a candidate because you're a son just the same as he is. You are witnessing to the resurrection the same as he. You are telling the world, I am my beloved's and my beloved is mine. You are telling the world you are going to the wedding supper of the incarnation of the Lamb. You stand there as admitting you are the living epistle of God. And whatever Jesus stood for you, whatever he stood for you, see, you stand for that too. What he is, you are. That is what the witness is and what ownership means. Water baptism signifies it. Yes, it does. Israel never stopped. In the baptism in the cloud and the sea, they went on right to the promised land. Well, you say, Brother Bale, they all didn't go. True, they all didn't go. God was going to say, I'll tell you what I'll do, Moses. I'll just make a whole bunch of make another nation out of you. And he said, no. You knew that would have meant Caleb and Joshua wouldn't have got in. That would have meant the elect wouldn't have got in. Those over, those under 20 years of age wouldn't have got in. He said, look, I'll do it. He said, Moses said, no. What did God say? He said, okay, Moses, I'll let them keep going. But I got news for you. None of those over 20 except two are going to go in, and all they'll meet their sins down the road. Yeah. That's exactly right, brother, sister. They were baptized. You can be baptized in water. They're doing it all over the land. They're doing it all over the world, called the name of Christianity, in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And many are baptized in the name of Jesus, and so on. Or they'll say, I baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and according to the Word of God, do everything in the name of Jesus, so I do it in Jesus' name. Oh, they're working deal on it. They're not going to make it. Because you see, water doesn't do it. If God does something for you, and you're witnessing to what God has done and is doing for you and will do for you, but what if God hasn't done anything for you and you're presumptuous? What if you don't go on? You won't go in. He said, then why get baptized? Because you've got to be baptized. When you hear the gospel, you say, He is the Savior, He's the Redeemer. There's only one thing you can do. But it doesn't mean you're going. But then again, if you are going in, you will be baptized.
Amen.
See, oh, you can't duck it. You see, they want to duck it. Every argument is spurious. There are no arguments. There is no room for debate. You see, I'm bound for the promised land. Are you? Then you've been baptized in water. You say, I've been baptized. I'm therefore bound for the promised land. No. Are you full of the Holy Ghost? Because you're supposed to go on. Oh, yeah. Israel never went on. They rejected the pillar of fire. Exactly is what they did. The Bible said they denied Him. They denied Him when He came on earth in the human flesh. They denied Him in the pillar of fire. They're denying Him now in the pillar of fire. Brother Brand said the pillar of fire leads us to the millennium. Well, then He's got to be here to raise it.
Right.
Yeah. A man said, well, Brother Bailey, you mean to tell me if I and so-and-so-and-so-and-so believe that? He said, we wouldn't preach it. I said, but you're not. Oh, yeah, preachers are convenient. They're politicians. Brother Branham, here we come. Four pillars in the church. No pillars? No. Knock a couple of walls up. This will get some four pillars. I've got to preach the four pillars. Well, I don't think you're going to leave. I can name people right now who know more attention to leaving nothing. Take him into the shotgun and kill you and drag you up by the heels, you might leave. But other than that, you'll stick. Your shoes are too sticky, you see. I like your stickiness. Don't worry. It's all honey. Don't look at me, because I ain't going to get you nowhere. Water baptism signifies that ownership. Signifies it, brother, sister, that you're taking your witness, see? All right, you say, all did not go in. That's exactly right, they all did not go in. That we preached that in the first message. Simon stopped short in Acts 8. And I suppose Ananias and Sapphira never had too good an experience either. But listen, the elect of Israel went in. 7,000 never bowed the knee. The elect will go in. They'll repent. They'll be baptized in water. Because some don't go in does not invalidate the baptism and negate the rest of it. Let's look at Hebrews 6. Come on. Let's take a look at Hebrews 6. We learn a lesson right there. It said, therefore, leaving the principles, doctrine of Christ as a ground of perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and the faith toward God of doctrine of baptism, laying on of hands and the resurrection of the dead and the eternal judgment. What did Brother Branham say that was? He said, going from doctrine to reality. And they're trying to make us have a doctrine. We've got reality. Let's keep reading. This will do if God permit, but He didn't permit back there. Because He wasn't coming back at that time. No way. Wasn't time. For it's impossible those who are once for on enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and made partake of the Holy Ghost, tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, having fallen away, not if they shall fall, but having fallen away, to ever renew them to repentance again, because they crucified themselves, the Son of God, afresh by the Roman chain, they can get all of that and go to hell. You can be baptized in water too, brother, sister, and make not make it. Well, I'm going to tell you something. The real ones have this and go in.
Right.
And the real ones get baptized and go in.
Amen.
And there's a false repentance. And there's a false baptism. There's a false everything, but they're still a real.
Amen. Right.
And there couldn't be a phony except to be a real first. So don't you ever get any ideas that water baptism is not a genuine real thing that God wants carried up, because that shows who you belong to. You say, what if I don't belong? Well, that's the same as the couple used to. The years you can do it now. They don't even question the hotel, motel. You can walk in with two girls and lay in bed with both of them. They don't give a rip. But years ago, you know, the cute thing to do was to sign as Mr. and Mrs. Pinkerton. Now, just, I don't know Pinkerton's from a hole in the ground. The Pinkerton I know, his wife is dead. So I'm not compromising anybody. But you could take the kid's name out of the funny pair, Bushka, and say Mr. and Mrs. Bushka. But she was a Miss Townsend, and he was a Mr. something else. They don't give her up anymore. You can have a phony baptism. Sure. You can have a pretend. No more married than nothing to the woman, live with them or anything else. You can have all those things. There's always real, there's always phony. The water baptism is commanded. Go into all the world and preach, and he that believes is baptized. Just that simple. Because it shows who you belong to. Okay? I didn't say this. The prophet said it. I take everything he says the best I can and tell you about it. Now, you hear what I'm getting at. I'm telling you what it stands for. I'm telling you what lies there. It's up to you. You and your house can come in by believing and being baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and inherit the riches that lie in it. And you can be able to stop there. So that's what you said when you went into the water. That's exactly what your testimony was when you went in the water. Now, if that's what it means, we stick to our witness. We claim his ownership. And then we realize he's going to fill us. Now, I'm going to just give you a quote here. I'm going to call it quits. There's a quote that Brother Branham makes in the Future Home of the Earthly Bride, page, I forget what it is, 49, paragraph 2. He said, your body was justified under Noah's baptism. In other words, there's something very significant when your body is put into water. You know why? Because it's the soul and the spirit. The soul gets born again to change the nature so you'll walk different. But that water signifies that you as a person are not whole except you are 1, 2, 3. Spirit, soul, body. Really should be soul, spirit, body because the soul's in there already waiting for the spirit on the outside to give an animation. All right? So therefore, you call it spirit, soul, body. Now look at it. It is the soul that is born again. That's where the rebirth comes, gets down in that seed. All right, now the nature can come through the spiritual part of man. And in the spirit here, in this here, is part of the mind, and that is one that leads to repentance in here. So there's a work in the spirit, but the Holy Ghost gets down here right within, deeper than the believer, the wheel within the wheel. Now then, what about this other? All right, under Noah, Brother Branham said, it said here, your body was justified under Noah's baptism. In other words, he's telling you very, very frankly, that as Noah's baptism took all the rest out and made it safe for you by the same water to come back and take over, so it is that you are telling the world that not only do I have an inner experience, but I know I'm coming back here. The same as he's coming back because I'm owned by him and we're going to reign and live as king and queen. We're going to come back here on this earth and walk over it. You see, your water baptism actually testifies to the whole gamut. It testifies to it and say, hey, and you look back on everything that comes your way. And you're going to say, that's right. I was dead, but now I'm alive. And everything that's in him has to start pouring in by revelation, the believing part. See, you say, hey, I came up out of the water to get that. I came up out of sin and death to get that. It is a witness. It is a testimony. It is a part of God's truth this hour, brother, sister. And therefore, I trust that it's quickened you to know this. That something of the definitive, something very real, something very powerful was ministered to you in water baptism. And it wasn't just a ho-hum. Well, I guess we'll do it, but what's to it? I really could get by. You see, it's not that at all. No. I may preach some more. I don't know. You say, why are you going to preach more? I'll tell you what, because I want to get so convicted myself that whatever is in it, I want to ride plumb to the crest, brother.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
I want to be the best old surfer in the world. Go up there and get on the biggest wave and come roaring into the homeland.
Hallelujah.
On every single thing of the word of Almighty God. Because I tell you one thing, if that doesn't do it, ain't nothing going to do it. Brother Brand, you like to sing that song, We're Nearing the Shore? You bet we're nearing the shore, brother, sister. And one of the great flood tides, whether you know it or not, is the fact that you went down baptized in that water in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that you, when you had a doubt, you came right back and said, hey, I don't know if I was even baptized or anything else. I'm not taking any chances. When he said that night, I remember under the seventh seal, he said, it is thus saith the Lord that you were baptized wrong. He said, you must be baptized in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. I'd pat myself on the back all my life and said, well, hey, I was baptized right. I wasn't baptized myself, but who needs it? Sure, I was put off. I came into Pentecost. And I understood right away by Acts 10. Why, they didn't get baptized, but they got the Holy Ghost. So who needs to get baptized? And I'll just wait till I get baptized in the Holy Ghost, and then I'll be baptized in water. So that's how I ran it. God let me do it. But let me tell you one thing. As soon as I got baptized, I knew I had to. Why? It doesn't take the baptism with the Holy Ghost to make you know you need water baptism. The Word of God stands there and says you repent and be baptized, every one of you. Showing ownership, showing a witness. And that tells you what it's all about. You look back and say, hey, look what I did. I just repented and walked in the water. See what he did. Oh, there's literally chapters, there's literally volumes that lie within the symbology. And I keep talking about it. I want to. I like to talk about the shed blood. I like to talk about foot washing. Because I know it lies there. Look at the fact that they sacrificed. You wash the legs and you wash the inner part. And Jesus came by with foot washing. And he said, look, Peter, he said, you don't have to, I don't have to wash you all over. The inner man was already washed. The viscera was washed where the light is. But he said, Peter, it's those feet of yours down there. It's a witness to the world. People come along and say, well, you see what it is. If you wash your feet, you see that means that, well, what does it mean? I don't know what it all means. They try to figure out something. And I guess it's good to figure out certain things. But I figure myself, it just shows this one thing. But Jesus said, hey, the inside's already clean. And I'm doing this as a witness to it. That's doing something for me. He said, what's it doing? I didn't ask. If I do ask, you don't tell me. But he did say to the disciples, he said, you know what I'm doing now, but you know hereafter. And I don't know how far along hereafter is going to take. Maybe the hereafter. Now, I know one thing. He said, you drink this blood, you drink this the wine, and you take this bread. He said, I'm going to do it with you in the kingdom. And he came down and he ate a fish sandwich with him. See? I'm going on to resurrection. Everything I do points to it. For the first time, I'm getting happy to live. Because I'm going to live right. Now, if I figure I had to live wrong, if I had to go back to being me, forget it. I do my very best to get annihilated. Sap. The first time around was bad enough, though, the second time. I want to tell you one thing, brother said, when I sinned, I learned to improve how to sin when I sinned. I ain't coming back no second time. For any messing around. I'd give you that big a sinner. Yeah, I got to prove it to you. When they come back here in the second resurrection, they know better, but they try to overcome Christ in his bride. I'm coming back changed.
Hallelujah.
You say, Brother Vail, I sure appreciate that. Not half as much as I do, kid. You may think, by the way I preach, and I'm rough up here preaching, you may think that old Evail had better change. That's exactly right. And you better believe I'm going to change.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Yeah, that's right. Heavenly Father, we're very grateful to you for your love, mercy, kindness, and all those wonderful things you've done for us, Lord, and you've done in us, and you're doing to us, O God, and we know that we'll never ever do anything for him, nor do we really attempt to in a sense of any aggrandizement, even to say, Lord, look what we've done with what you've given us. But, oh God, we know that when we do believe, that when we are in that light, we will walk in that light. We're in the Spirit, we will walk in the Spirit. We believe that, Lord. We believe that somehow, Father, that there is a place of pleasing unto you, and by grace, Lord, you bestowed upon us. We have the strength, and not just the will, but we have the will and the strength, which has been given by you. To be overcomers in this world. And he that believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And he that believes is an overcomer. We know that. And just like you overcame and sat down in the Father's throne, you said, we who overcome in the last time, we know we're going to overcome the Antichrist system, the beast system, the whole thing, Lord, overcome this unbelief. Coming out of Babylon, we know that opens a door in that way to come right in. And then believing, Lord, to be with you in that hour. And we know, Lord, that you are with us in this hour, which is that great hour. And we're thankful for it, that you're here. And you will take us in, Lord. And everything we do and everything we want is to be a witness, O God. And Lord, we really believe that. And Lord, I just want to thank you, Lord, that I believe, Lord, that you do talk with me. You do tell me to the deepest impression in my mind, right to my innermost being, right down to the core, Lord, with that wheel within a wheel, that something deeply impresses me. And I'm so happy, Lord, with what you impress me, that dawn is breaking. The warmth of Him who is love flooding our hearts and our minds as never before. We're entering in, Lord, deeper and deeper in that secret and holy place, the secret chamber of unity, when our beloved is mine and we are our beloved's. Lord, we believe that. In that very hour in, Lord, there is a transference of attributes that must be within us. And there is a growth, Lord, of those attributes to the role that we're destined to play, coming right into the spotless virgin bride, immortal with Him. Oh, how can we ever praise you enough? How can we say anything, Lord, or ever do anything? We know that there's no way we can ever do anything. There's no way. We could only offer back to you what you've given us. And no matter how softly we walk or anything, Lord, we know that except it was by that same life, it isn't going to work anyway. But Father, here we are consecrated to this thing, as says Mary, be it unto me according to thy word. That's all we're going to say, Lord. That's all we're going to say. And we know that such a thing as that been preached so long for so strong that it means that 99% of our thinking and 99% of the people means that, well, hey, that's going to be something too hard that God's going to ask us to do. But that's not what Mary said. And that's not the answer that you would have received anyway. When she said, be done according to thy word, it was that she would be that mother of that one. It'd be everything, Lord, that you did, and she would nurture it. And now, God, with your help, we will nurture that which you've laid within our bosoms. With your help, Lord, because it's got to be in the election, and we have to be the right one, just as Mary would have to be that right one. There's no two ways about it. There had to be the proper tracing down. Lord, only that way, if we are in the election, we say, be unto us according to your word. And Lord, nurtured to bring forth. And we commend ourselves to it, O God, this evening hour. Let the glory of Lord, the grace of our Lord, be magnified as never before. Let it be obvious, not just in the world to come, but even now. Father, we commend ourselves, therefore, in faith and grace in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Now, this is a time for the, I don't know, I guess it's not the darkest in the world out there. Sun doesn't go all the way down. But I suppose we might be able to continue with the service.